I just want to give God the glory tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you now in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much for this privilege. Thank you so much for being God, being good. Thank you for the church of you and your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for the haven of rest. Thank you for the old rugged cross. And God, I just pray as I preach tonight that you would help me, God, as Brother Lou prays, take these clay lips of mine and this broken body and broken heart and broken soul, broken spirit of mine, and fill us with the Holy Ghost and give us what you want from me to the congregation, Lord. Thank you for this privilege, this honor, this blessing. I pray you bless the reading of your word and bless me as I preach. Lord, we love you, Lord. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please stand together and turn to Acts 27. That's Acts chapter 27 in your King James Bible. Acts chapter 27. We're going to read responsively. Verses 4 through 31. 4 through 31. It says in Acts chapter 27, verse 4, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when he had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete, over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, For I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color that they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Let's pray. Lord, we continue in prayer and pray you bless me as I preach. Thank you for your word and thank you for this great congregation. We love you, Lord, and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to start at verse 4 again, Acts chapter 27, verse 4. It says, "And when we had launched from thence, from there, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary." Because the winds were contrary. You know, how I got this sermon was I was cutting grass with Brother Jose the other week, and I had an American hat that Sister Jennifer and I bought at Cracker Barrel up in Wilkes-Barre on one of our dates. And we had purchased 2 hats. You know, that day, Brother Jose and I were cutting grass. We're like, man, it's hot out. It's hot out. Brother Z believes in air conditioning, and I just keep on going. Praise the Lord. We all have our different prerogatives. We all have our different ideas. But you know what? I got the hat. Jose and I were looking for the hat. And we're like, man, we want an American hat. A red, white, and blue American hat. It was around like, I don't know, maybe around the 4th of July. But point is, we're like, man, we really want a red, white, and blue American hat. And I said, man, Brother Jose, let's buy these hats. We're at a gas station up in Meadow Ave here in Scranton. We're like, man, these hats are like $30. We're like, oh, man, I could go on Amazon and order something for like $15 or something. I'm like, I'm not going to spend $30 on a red, white, and blue hat. I'd love to spend it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, that's a lot of money. So I said, let's be patient. Brother Jose and I were going to go to Ollie's down here in Scranton. We're going to go get some good stuff cheap. But I'm like, wait a second. So Sister Jennifer and I were at Cracker Barrel. And she's like, hey, look. I said, hey, what? She said, hey, look. I said, hey, what? She said, oh. And then my eyes were opened. An American hat, red, white, and blue. Nice wide brim straw hat and a leather hat. Been rocking it. $15. $15. Cracker Barrel. Great store, great place, great food. Highly recommend it. But I'm just saying, Brother Jose and I, we're out there cutting grass up on Dorothy, hey, Sister Dorothy, how you doing? Dorothy Ave, think about you every time we cut grass here in Scranton, headed toward West Side, over in West Side, right under the bridge, down Main Ave. And we're cutting Dorothy Street, one of the lawns that my dad gave me for taking care of. And Brother Jose and I were right at the end of the lawn. We're like cutting the grass and, you know, doing our thing. We're like, yeah, making it look perfect, you know, with the edging and the lines and everything. Blowing the grass all away, raking it all up. Well, the wind was blowing. I was walking down the sidewalk, almost getting ready to finish the lawn, and all of a sudden, my hat goes flying off. I said, no, not the red, white, and blue. And it went flying off. And this is where I got this sermon, right here. The winds were contrary. The winds were contrary. Contrary means opposed to or against. Contrary, opposed to or against. And that line just went flying through my brain. I'm like, I know Brother Jose got his sermon already. I'm like, but what about mine? And I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? And he said, Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 is in the book of Acts, and it is the Acts of the Apostles, or better yet, the Acts of the Holy Ghost, come from God in the day of Pentecost, that he demonstrated the power of God in men with tongues of fire above them in Acts chapter 2. But the theme of Acts is the progress of the gospel, the good news of God, from Jerusalem to Rome. The progress of God and his gospel from Jerusalem to Rome. And one of the key figures in the book of Acts is the Apostle Paul. And that's who is writing here, is Luke, the doctor. He was with the Apostle Paul, helping Paul on his journeys and taking care of him. But it said, when we, verse 4, Acts 27:4, had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. Verse 5, and when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. Verse 6, Acts 27. And there the centurion found a ship out of Alexandria sailing into Italy. And he put us therein. So again, this is Paul is on his way to Rome. The apostle Paul, who was previously Saul of Tarsus, who persecuted the church to the death, putting Christians in jail. And he was an old-day terrorist, or a modern-day terrorist, we would call him. Someone who killed people, someone who hated Christians, someone who thought that he was always right, someone who knew the law of God better than anyone in the entire Judaistic system, the system of Judaism. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a scribe of the scribes. He knew what he knew, and he knew it right, and he had everything right but the knowledge of God. He had everything right but the knowledge of God. Brother Jose preached on the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge. You see, there's knowing something, then there's knowing something, my friends. Knowing something informationally does not mean that you know experientially or demonstratively or powerfully. Doesn't mean the same thing. But here it says in verse 7, when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us. The wind, this is a naval passage. This is, the health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. No, not that. But that is the fear of the Lord. A sea passage, naval. And so the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. So again, this is I was actually just on a walk right before I came here. And I saw the license plate of a vehicle, and it said U.S. Navy on it. U.S. Navy on it. You know, I have the blessing of praying for the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, the Marines, the Special Forces, the Coast Guard, the National Guard, the veterans, the prisoners of war, the missing action, the military families. I praise God for every military family in the United States of America. We are so blessed. Brother Joe, his family. Others, I'm sure, who have served in the military of the United States of America, have family that has served in the United States military. And I just went up to the car and I said, excuse me, sir, I'm sorry to interrupt your conversation. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your service for our country. I noticed that you're a U.S. Navy veteran, and I just want to say thank you. And you know what he told me? He said, you're the second person who came up to me today and said, thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. And you know, the United States of America is the greatest country on the planet. And I'm just so thankful that we have a military, so thankful that we have families that serve and have served and paid the price for our country. I'm so thankful for Brother Joe and his family. So thankful for the others who have served. But this is a naval passage and a sea passage where there's much traveling on ships. And Paul is on his way to Rome. He's literally being dragged there by God. The progress of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome. The progress of the gospel of God from Jerusalem to Rome. And it says, in hardly verse 8, passing it, we came into a place called the Fair Havens. The Fair Havens. Fair is beautiful. Fair is like the moon. Fair is the moon. Fair is the sunshine. Fair is still the moon. The moon is beautiful. just like Sister Jennifer in my life. She's beautiful. So just like the wives of the men in this room and elsewhere, the men are the sun, the women are the moon. The moon reflects the sun and is fair. But here it says the fair havens. The fair havens. And haven is a place of rest. We just sang about it. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But in this passage, nigh whereunto was the city of Laodicea, verse 9, Paul was sailing. The apostle Paul, who is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for the repentance and remission and forgiveness of sins. Verse 9, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, you see, you can't just sail whenever you want. You can't just go on the sea whenever you want. Storms come up, raging tempests, and that's what we're going to see here. Sailing was now dangerous. Preaching is dangerous. You say the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing, you act the wrong way, you offend somebody. Preaching is dangerous. But here it says sailing was now dangerous. It can be, because, you know, when you're in the haven of rest and you're not sailing the wide seas anymore, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? God be for us, who can be against us? The wind may be contrary to us. The wind may not suffer us. People may be offended. People may walk out. People may quit. But you know what? Even though sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already passed, and the fast here is talking about in Leviticus 23 and the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, like we've been studying in the tabernacle, how God made the high priest go in to the tabernacle and on the Day of Atonement once a year offer the blood of the lamb which was sacrificed. And we thank God for Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who has offered his own precious blood for our salvation. But sailing was now dangerous because the fast, the Day of Atonement, was already passed. And Paul admonished them in verse 10 and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, so you see here, we all have to pay the price. We all have to either do something for God. I guess a coward dies 1,000 deaths. A hero dies but once. We know that Brother Joe and Mrs. Sabotnick's son, Sergeant Eric Wentworth Sabotnick, paid the ultimate price with his life for our country, for freedom. He didn't die from something. He died for freedom. He died for freedom, that we may be free. But it says here that nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You see, Paul was the preacher. Paul was the man of God. And Paul had things to say. And Paul was telling him, listen, I'm a man of God. And he told the centurion, who was over him, because he was in jail. He was literally in chains on this ship being dragged to Rome, because he had to testify, God said, for his behalf, for his gospel, to Caesar. But it says, those things which were spoken by Paul, the centurion said, oh, you know, Paul, he's a man of God, but you know what? I'm going to believe the master of the ship. And this is a little M, my friends. Jesus is the master of the sea, my friends. Jesus is the master over everyone and everything. All your winds, all your troubles, all your trials, all your sufferings, everything that is contrary to you and against you, all these things were against me. But God, my friends. And it says, because the haven was not commodious to winter in. You know, it wasn't comfortable. The church isn't comfortable all the time. It's not supposed to be comfortable. You're supposed to be either on fire or freezing cold. Those are the only two states that I understand besides Pennsylvania. No, it's a joke. But anyway, don't tread on me. Anyway, just saying, I'm partial to Pennsylvania because I was born here. But I'm just saying that the haven wasn't commodious. It wasn't comfortable to winter in, you know. I spent a couple winters up at Pastor's property. I'm not going to lie, that little studio apartment, it's such a blessing in the spring. It's such a blessing in the summer. it's such a blessing in the fall, but winter comes around and I'm like, oh my goodness, help me, Lord. He does. Pastor gave me nothing but blessing for staying up on his property at the sanctuary on Cimarron Road, as Brother Harold affectionately calls it. It's such a nice place. But when winter comes around, I'm like, it's so cold. It's so cold. But I got my heater jacked up, and you know, it's wonderful. No complaint, my friends. No complaint. But I'm just saying that the Haven was not commodious to winter. And have you ever been there, winter? Are you dreading winter yet? It's not even here, but are you dreading it? Oh, no, not the snow. I got to shovel it. No, it just wasn't commodious to winter in. It wasn't comfortable. Again, the church isn't always comfortable. But let me tell you what, my friends, we're getting there. The more part advised to depart thence also. The more part advised to depart thence also. So again, here we go, the crowd, right? The crowd. There's always the crowd. There's always the naysayers. There's always the majority. The majority wins most of the time. They do. You know, peer pressure and sporting events and rah-rah shishkamba is pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. But I'll tell you what, my friends. The more part advised to depart thence also from the uncommodious place to live, because they wanted to go to a comfortable place. They wanted to go to a better place where it was easier for them during the winter, which is in Haven. The more also, if verse 12, if by any means they might attain to Phenice and there to winter, which is in Haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest, so that they wanted to go to the more comfortable place. Verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly, I remember something about Brother Joe when we first met. He said to me, your face. I said, what about my face? He said, your face. I was walking through the woods, I believe on a Memorial Day picnic day when Scranton Revival Baptist Church was up in Lackawanna State Park, and I was walking through the woods going, God, where do you want me to go to church? God, what do you want me to say? God, what do you want me to do? I was praying all these things with my ESV, whatever, in my hand, but I was praying to God, right God, wrong Bible, but just saying. I was walking through the woods going, where do I go to church? All of a sudden I hear, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is God. And it was Pastor. He was on a bench preaching the gospel of God, the progress of the gospel of God, not from Jerusalem to Rome, but from Scranton, Pennsylvania, from Michigan, all the way to Lackawanna State Park. Pastor's on the march. He's on the march to Zion. Thank God for that. But I'm just saying that Brother Joe said, your face. And I said, what about my face? He said, it's in a direction. It's in a direction. And I said, what are you talking about? He's like, it's south, right? South. Help me out, sir. South. My face was facing south. And you know what? There's something about the south. It's just nice. It's very nice. They're nice people down there. And they take a little bit longer to say things, and they kind of have a funny drawl to them sometimes. It's only because I'm from the north. But I'm just saying, it says in Job chapter 37, verse 17, Job chapter 37, verse 17, it says, how thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. The south wind. You see, the south wind quiets the earth. The south wind is warm. It's gentle. It's warm. It's beautiful. It's like, thank you, God, for the south. The winds, when they blow from the south, thank you, God, for the south winds. And, you know, this, verse 13, back to Acts 27:13. It says, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose. Again, this centurion and this master of the ship and this group of men thought that they had an idea in their head, thought that they were going to one up on the sea, one up on God, because God is the master of the sea. But they sailed close, loosing thence. They thought that they obtained their purpose. Loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Again, we all have an agenda. We all have a mission. We all have a purpose in life. Some of us are trying to fulfill it. Other of us are like, man, like I just I have an idea what I want to do in life. I have an idea what I want to say, where I want to go, what I want to be. I have a dream. But you know what? God has a dream. God has a purpose. God has something for you, my friends. Something for you, my friend, and something for you, my friends, that only you can fulfill. But we're getting there. Loosing dents, they sailed close by Crete because they thought they had an idea. They thought they had a better idea than Paul, the man of God. It says, verse 14, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. Euroclydon, which is northeast wind. It's a storm in the Mediterranean Sea coming from the northeast. Brutal, brutal, tempestuous wind. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. We let her drive. And, you know, sometimes the wind will be contrary to us. Sometimes the wind will be against us. Sometimes the wind, you know, it says in verse 16, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. So these men were struggling. These people were struggling on the ship. Paul was supposed to go to Rome. Paul was supposed to witness to Caesar. Paul was supposed to tell him Jesus is Lord. And that was Paul's mission. That was Paul's purpose. That was Paul's burning desire in his heart. The progress of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome. That was God's mission for Paul. And yet, this is all happening in his life. I mean, God's above the sea and God's above everything. I think someone recently said that God isn't in time only. He's outside of time. Someone was preaching here. I was in church. Was that you, Pastor Z? Thank you, sir. So Pastor Z was preaching. He's going, God isn't just in time. He's outside of time. He's above time. You can't put God in a box. And it says right here, these men were fighting. These men were struggling. These men were toiling. I get it. It's one thing to say, oh, yep, God's up here. God's up here. And he is. Don't get me wrong, my friends. But it's a whole nother dimension to go, we're living our lives down here. We're in Scranton, Pennsylvania. We're in Lackawanna County. We're in northeastern Pennsylvania. What are we doing? What are we doing, my friends? What is Sister Rose doing? What's her purpose in life? What's Brother Algin, Sister Joanna, Mom Payon, Sister Karen? What is Brother Sarge's purpose? We know our purpose. We do know our purpose, each and every one of us. Thank God we know our purpose, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But I'm just saying, like, we struggle down here. I struggle every day of my life, but we struggle down here trying to figure out what God wants for us. What God wants for us, sir. And that struggle is very real. In this case, imagine being on a ship in the middle of the sea, being tossed to and fro, not knowing which way to go, not knowing the north, south, east, and west. You're just letting this ship is just running the way the ship is running. And you're like, man, what is going on? I mean, Paul had it together. The man of God had it all together. But what about us? What about us? Well, you know what? It says right here, when the ship was caught, in verse 15, and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. We let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Much work. Yep, there's a lot of work. What was it? I went to Scranton Revival Baptist Church and died for lack of sleep because I'm one of the sheep. Thank God for that. You know, thank God for that because, you know, what's that verse in Psalms? Help me, Lord. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to our own way. This is Isaiah 53. And the Lord laid upon him, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father laid the iniquity of us all on Jesus. But we are lambs. We have no idea what's going on in the big grand scheme of thing. But here in the boat, it says, verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps. They use helps, which are chains that go under the ship to the hull of the ship, the body of the ship. And helps are meant to hold the wood together in very, very strenuous, tumultuous, tempestuous storms. Straining storms. It's the hull, the body of the ship. Helps are meant to hold it together. Undergirding the ship, it says in verse 17. Have you ever needed help? Have you ever needed help? I know I have. I know in my life, Sister Jennifer has been nothing but a blessing. She's helping me, And that's why the Bible says, for you men that are married, and me that's working on it, but and others, and help me, and help me, and help worthy for the man. And that's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm thanking God for. Sister Jennifer, she's nothing but a blessing. I can't remember a blessed thing, my friends. She's like, what about this? What about that? I'm like, yes, Sister Jennifer. I'm like, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the help. And that's what women are to men, to help them. The moon is a beautiful thing in the sky when it shines its fair light on the earth. The earth is blessed. We're blessed every single night that we look at the moon. It's like, wow, God, thank you for the moon. Thank you for that. But I'm just saying, my friends, we need help. Whether you're a man or a woman, if you're a woman, help a man. If you're a man, get helped by a woman. But this case, the ship needed some help because it was going to tear, it's just going to pull apart. The whole ship was just going to burst because of the storm. And it says, which, verse 17, when they had taken up, they used helps, the chains undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. So again, verse 18, this ship is out of control. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. That's what they do back in the day and even modern day times. If a ship is being tossed to and fro, left and right, up and down, every which way, they'll start throwing stuff overboard. Make it lighter so the water isn't as packing a punch to the left and to the right of the ship. They lightened the ship. They started throwing stuff overboard. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship, the parts by the mast and the furniture of the mast and different parts of the ship. They're literally throwing parts of the ship overboard that were used to help guide the ship, that were used to help the ship normally in normal weather, in non-Euroclydon storm tempestuous winds. They were throwing things overboard. Verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Have you ever been there, my friends? Have you ever been in your life where there's no sun, S-U-N, in the sky? Have you ever been there, my friends, where there's no stars in your life lighting your way? Have you ever been there where many days have gone by? Darkness has taken over. You have no idea what's going on. What's my purpose? What's my mission? What's my goal? What's my why? Where are you, God? I turn to the left, you're not there. I look to the right, you're not there. I go up, down, left, right. God, where are you? Not necessarily God only, but I'm just saying here, the sun, this is the sun in this case. This is a real storm. This is the real deal. This is actually happening in the Apostle Paul's life. There's no sun in the sky, no stars, can't see him at all, no small tempest. This is a wind and a storm like no other. All hope, end of verse 20, that we should be saved was then taken away. Have you been there, my friends? Have you been there where there's no hope, there's no way of escape, there's no help, there's no way out? It's darkness. Verse 21, thank God for the butts of God. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. The man of God stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, he's respectful. Sirs, ye should have hearkened, as Brother Jose preached this morning. Ye should have hearkened unto me. Ye should have listened, God says in his word. Ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete. Ye should have stayed where you're at, Matthew. You should have stayed where you're at, Brother Bob. You should have stayed where you're at, my friend. Whoever you are, and whatever you're going through, my friend. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. I'm just saying. Should not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Gained this harm and loss. It's no fun losing. It's no fun having harm in your life. Verse 22. This is what the man of God said. Paul, the apostle. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. That's good news, my friends. Good cheer. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. But I'm just saying, take heart. Be of good cheer. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. But it says in verse 22 here, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. This is Paul's admonition to the ship riders. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. of the ship. The ship is going down, my friends. We're on the Titanic. This is life. There are people out there. There are people in here. There are people to the left, people to the right, people before us, people behind us that are suffering, that are dying. We're all dying, my friends. But I'll tell you what. This is good news, my friends. Look at verse 23. For there, this man of God's message to us. For there stood by me, Paul said, this night, the angel of God. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. The angel of the church of Philadelphia. How many times has Pastor got up here and preach? How many times has Pastor got here and poured his heart out, his soul out, his mind out, his strength out? He may be going through stuff himself. He is going through stuff himself. Praise God for that. But here an angel, a literal angel from God, came down from heaven and said, Paul, hey, guess what? I got you. Look at this. Look at this, my friends. Whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, fear not. How encouraging is that, my friends? Fear not. I don't know what you're going through exactly. I don't know what exactly your problem is. I don't know what exactly your suffering is. I don't know what exactly what your rockledon of your life is going through. But here it says, fear not, my friends. Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. So again, the progress of the gospel of God from Jerusalem to Rome. The progress of the gospel of God from Jerusalem to Rome. You're going to get there, my friend. I don't know what storm you're going through. I don't know what Euryclidon you're going through. I don't know what trial, tribulation, and suffering you're going through, my friend. But God does. God does. And he says, fear not. In this case, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. You got to testify, Paul. You got to make known the gospel, Paul. And lo, God hath given thee all that them that sail with thee. All them that sail with thee. You know, I watch a movie called Gladiator, and it's pretty bloody. It's pretty intense. It's a violent movie, and I don't recommend it for all. But in the movie, you have Maximus Decimus Meridius, the general of the Roman army, Felix Legion. And he's the commander and the general of Rome. He's serving the emperor. He's serving the king at that time. And he's riding down on his horse, riding into battle. And what he tells his soldiers is, stay with me. Stay with me. He's yelling it. Stay with me. Stay with me. And then he goes right into the battle. Well, here it says, stay with Paul. Stay with Paul. Stay with Pastor Bloom. Stay with the men of God at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Stay with Deacon Joe. Stay with Pastor Zukowski. Stay with Deacon Steve Gary. Stay with Deacon Bob Bajeski. Stay with Deacon Jesse Kresge. Stay with these men. Why? Because it says right here, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Instead of stay with me, sail with Paul. Sail with Paul. Sail with God, because he's the man of God. Sail with thee. God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Verse 25, wherefore, Paul's still talking, sirs, be of good cheer. Again, there it is. That's twice. 1 in 22 and 1 in 25. Be of good cheer. Take heart, be of good cheer, our Lord says. I have overcome the world. But in this case, the storm that Paul is going through, I believe God. I believe God, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. You see, Paul had a mission. He was going to Rome no matter what. You have a mission, my friends. What your personal mission is, and what your public mission is, and what your princess mission is, and what your prince mission is, and what your mission from God is. He has a mission for you. He wants you to fulfill it. He will fulfill it in your life. Whether you're in Jerusalem, whether you're in Rome, whether you're in Scranton, whether you're in Lackawanna County, northeastern Pennsylvania, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, my friends, it shall be even as it was told me. Because Paul believed God. Because our pastor believes God. Because Jesus Christ said, whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives you, me receives him who sent me. See, God has a mission for you. But look at verse 26. Howbeit, this is the struggle, my friends. We're on a ship. We're sailing through life. We got our trials. We got our tribulations. We got our sufferings. Howbeit, my friends, we must be cast upon a certain island. We must be cast upon a certain island. Verse 27. Here's the shipwreck. But when the 14th night was come, have you ever been that far in suffering? 14 nights. These guys had no food. These guys threw it overboard. It's gone. Most of it. But look, verse 27. When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. How encouraging is that? You're in the middle of the ocean. You're in life. You're going through your trial. You're going through your pain. You're going through your suffering. You have no idea when the light of the sun is going to shine in your life. You have no idea when God is going to come through for you. But you're near in some country. You know, some country could be, you know, India or Pakistan or China or the United States of America, or it's not some country, but I'm just saying. Some country, those are countries in the world. But have you ever needed to be near to some country? We're pilgrims. We're passing through. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home, Brother Jesse, in this world anymore. You see, we have a country, my friends. We're pilgrims passing through. We got Zion. We got the holy hill of God. We got the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from our God. I'm just saying, my friends, this is a challenge. This is a challenge. This is a suffering. This is a pain. But you know what? They're getting closer to land. They're in the middle of the sea. They're in the middle of their trial, middle of their suffering, middle of their pain, middle of their problems, middle of Euroclodon. Insounded. Have you ever needed to hear something? Have you ever found it 20 fathoms? A fathom is 6 feet. 1 fathom is 6 feet. 20 fathoms, 20 times 6 is 120. That's how many feet. They were checking the depth of the ocean. They were checking the depth of the water. They're getting closer and closer. And it says they sounded, they checked it, and found it 20 fathoms, 120 feet deep. And when they got a little further, sometimes that's all it takes, my friend. Go a little bit further. Go a little bit further. Can you do that? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things, my friends. A little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. 15 fathoms. 90 feet. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks. Because there's plenty of rocks in our life. I've thrown plenty of them at plenty of people, and you know what? It's not smart. It's not smart. I've quit throwing rocks at people. God will put you down faster than no one's business when you start throwing rocks at people, when you think you know their problem, when you think you know the wind in their life, when you think you know something and you know nothing, or less than nothing. Just saying. They were fearing, verse 29, we should have fallen upon rocks. They would have died then. They cast out 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Have you ever wished for the day, my friends? You ever wished for the sun to break through, the light to shine on your life, the Job, the bread and butter to be rolling down the steps of your life? Have you ever wished for the promised land? Have you ever wished for Canaan's fair and happy land where our possessions lie? We are bound to the promised land and to go there. Who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. Have you ever wished for the day in your trial, in your life, in your pain, in your suffering? Have you ever wished for the day? Well, let me tell you what, my friends. Look at verse 30. Acts 27:30. And the shipmen, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Oh, how about that one? You ever wanted to run away? You ever wanted to quit church? You ever wanted to just take that terrible towel and just throw it to the ground? You ever wanted to quit on God? I have, my friends. I'm not proud of it, but I'm just saying. I've walked away from the church 3 times, my friends. Well, let me tell you what, God dragged me back kicking and screaming. It's hard to kick against the pricks, my friend. Sometimes I can be like that. But let me tell you what, my friends, I'm not seeking to be that. And we're not seeking to be that because God said, I have come to seek and save that which is lost. Don't walk away from the church, my friends. Why? Because the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. Time to get out of here. Time to head for the door. Time to book it. Time to leave. Well, it was a fake booking. It was a fake leaving under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. So they said, hey guys, we gotta check the anchors again, guys. We gotta check the ropes and the lading and the anchors. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. We're just gonna sneak out the back. No one's gonna ever know. We'll be right back. I promise you. You ever felt like that? Well, 31, and this is the main point that I wanted to bring out tonight. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. See, the ship is the local New Testament church, my friends, and in my parallel, in my imagination, in my little world. You see, we are the church of God. We are the people of God. We are the stones of God. We are the priests of God. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. And, you know, God invented the church. Brother Joe says that the church is the nearest thing to heaven on this side of glory. The local New Testament church. Pastor Bloom at the helm and choosing the men that step up and preach the word of God. And we got a wonderful youth pastor, Pastor Zukowski, and his family. And you know what? Except these abide in the ship. You see, if you think you can make it 2 seconds, 1 second, a half a second, a billisecond, a trillisecond, a zillisecond, you think you can make it 1 zillisecond outside of the church, outside of those doors. You think God has something for you better out there than in here? You're not right. You're wrong. God invented the church, like Brother Joe says, and Pastor Bloom says, and the Bible says, because the church is the next best thing to heaven until we get there. This is where the blessing is. This is where our God is. This is where our friends are. This is where our family is. I'm closer to each and every one of you in this room than I am my own natural, biological, earthly family. I love my dad. I love my mom. I love my brother Stephen, my sister Lynette, my little brother William. I love them. But you know what? The family of God. There's nothing like the family of God. There's nothing like the ship, my friends. There's nothing like the Zukowskis getting up here singing songs as a whole family playing that music. There's nothing like Pastor Bloom getting up here and preaching. There's nothing like the Jose coming down the aisle or the deacons coming down the aisle or the girls singing the songs, or Mom Payon getting on the bus with her problems. Oh, she loves it. Sarge cooking the food. I mean, the church. Like, I can't, Sister Jennifer sitting by me in the front row where I sit. There's nothing like being where Brother Bobby, hugging everybody, because God loves you, Bobby, and you know it, and no one can take that from you. We love you, Bobby. You love Jesus. Keep loving Jesus, Bobby. He's the best. Keep praise the Lord. You see, the church, there's for every single one of you. I'm not picking only on certain people. I'm just saying, Brother Algin destroying stuff downstairs and chopping trees from just climbing up there as fast as he can. And their wives, their beautiful wives, you know, the men of God in his church. Sister Marie, Sister Joanna, Mrs. Bloom, Mrs. Zukowski, all of them. I'm not leaving anybody out, but I'm just saying, the church is beautiful. The church is wonderful. The church is a great congregation. And it says in 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. You see, God didn't just invent the church for me to come to it or for you to come to it, for us to come to it. He did it for his glory. You're going to find glory in the church, Pastor Z. Glory in the church. It doesn't say there's glory in Scranton. It doesn't say there's glory in Lackawanna County. It doesn't say there's glory in Pennsylvania. It doesn't say there's glory in the United States of America or the Northeastern Seaboard or any of that. It says God is the glory. God, for great things he hath done, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord. The ship, that's what the ship is for. The ship is for us to sound out the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the worst of the worst and the best of the best. The most moral person on the entire face of the planet needs the local New Testament church just as much as the sickest dog on the planet. The sickest dog, because again, a living dog is better than a dead lion. And I'm just saying, the church is the place that God invented. God came up with. He's the architect. He's the father. God, the architect, sent Jesus, the son, to come and execute his plan, to perfectly draw it out, and perfectly bring us here tonight, and perfectly help us, and perfectly meet us where we're at, and perfectly save us, and perfectly help us abide in the ship. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. But again, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the Bible, the book. I mean, what is better than the book? What is better than the God of the book? What is better than the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E? That's the book for me. We stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. I may never march in the infantry. I may never ride in the cavalry. I may never shoot the artillery, but I'm in the Lord's army. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But God has made known to us the path of life. In his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And that's what Paul did. Paul said, hey, angels talk to me. You know, that's great. We have angels. We have Pastor Bloom. He's the angel of the Church of Philadelphia. That's wonderful. We have angels. Well, let me tell you what. When angels tell us what we need to hear from God, there's nothing more that thrills our soul. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And I'm just saying, my friends, that this story right here, this Bible is alive. This book is alive. It meets you in your pain. It meets you in your suffering. It meets you in your sadness. It meets you when you have wished for the day. The day dawns and the day star rises in our hearts, knowing that this isn't a fake book. This isn't a dead book. This is a living book for a living God, the living Word of God, abiding, dwelling, staying, like the tabernacle that we're learning about in Sunday school class. Like, it's God just wants to live with us. He wants to dwell with us. He wants to move and have our being in us. And he wants to be our best friend. And that's what I wanted to share tonight, is that Paul was sent from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. All his problems, all his sailing, all his beatings, all of his troubles, all of his tribulations, all of his sufferings, this wind that is just contrary, that is just opposed to you and opposed to me and opposed to us, because we're standing alone on the Word of God and we're trusting the Word of God as our infallible, immutable, inscrutable, inerrant, awesome, amazing, invincible Word. And I just want to end with this. It says in 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. So my friends, I'm just asking us tonight, are you going to stay in the ship, the local New Testament church? Are you going to get from God what he has for you to complete your purpose, for you to complete your mission, for you to do for God, from God, as unto the Lord, everything that you can possibly do, everything, my friend and my friends, that you may possibly be able to do, and again, all for the glory of God. Let's pray, and then I'll pass the mic to Pastor Zukowski. So let's pray. Lord, we come before you now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for giving me this awesome, great, wonderful, glorious privilege to proclaim just how you are the master of the sea. You are the God of over everything. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Lord Jesus Christ, the way home. God, we don't know the way through the wilderness. We have Euroclodons facing us.